Praise the Lord.
Has anybody seen on the website this week the two sermons from Sunday? One on Thou Shalt Not Kill. I choose all my own graphics, my illustration, my pictures and photos for the sermons. And the one on Thou Shalt Not Kill, it's got the Ten Commandments. And there's blood. There's blood all over the page except for the Sixth Commandment. Thou shalt not kill. And then the other one, why tithe? Why tithe? It's a picture of an offering plate, just like our gold offering plate, and it's full of cash. Why tithe? You know. So praise the Lord. But I'm so thankful for our website. It's such a blessing. I tell you, I just love hearing from people all over the world how they're being blessed. Folks are getting saved and saints are being edified. Preachers are using the messages, teaching their congregations in Africa, wherever. And that's a blessing. The Word of God is it's free, amen, and it's available to all. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll open up to hymn 31 for our final hymn tonight prior to the message. Go to hymn 31. When the morning comes, and of course that's when the day dawn and the day spring arises on high, we get raptured out of here. That is going to be such a glorious time. Charles Tindley wrote about that day, when the morning comes. We'll understand it better by and by when we're all gathered together up yonder. Let's stand and sing for our final hymn. We will sing the first and the last. Trials knock on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Everybody! By and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. On the third, temptations and snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for each thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why this test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Amen! Say, by and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. One more time, say, by and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by. Amen. Please be seated, church. What a blessing tonight that day is coming. And, you know, a lot of the trials and difficulties and struggles we go through in this life, we really don't understand. Why, Lord? Why is this going on in my life? But one day we'll understand it all. That He had a purpose, He had a reason, and He brought us through. Amen. Oh, it's so good to know Him. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. And back to the book of Galatians tonight. And we're in chapter what, somebody? Galatians chapter, you better know, 3. We're still in chapter 3 for a couple more weeks. And it's getting gooder and gooder, as they say down south. We just love the book of Galatians. And the fact that we're under grace, not under Mosaic code of any sort. Here in Galatians chapter 3, we're going to cover 6 more verses tonight. That'd be 15 through 20. And I want to speak to you tonight a message I've entitled, The Covenant of Life. The Covenant of Life. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in verse 15 tonight, beloved. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, to
to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God is one. I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on the covenant of life. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible verses. Lord, we thank you for the eternal truths that are contained in this passage. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for that covenant of life, the Abrahamic, into the which we have entered through the Son of God. Lord, we thank you that it is a covenant of peace. It is a covenant of grace. It is a covenant of love. And it's everlasting. Lord, how we thank you for the blessed covenant, the Abrahamic, into which we've entered. We love you and we ask you to bless your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, last week we saw that the blessing of Abraham is now coming upon the Gentiles for every single person who will receive Jesus Christ as Savior from sin. But tonight, Paul shifts gears by God's Holy Spirit, and he will show us exactly how this promised blessing of Abraham, of eternal life, of grace, is bestowed upon the believer. And it all has to do with a certain covenant, that is the covenant of life, which is Abrahamic. He's saying that there are two covenants available to all people. One is a covenant of death. It's Mosaic. The other is a covenant of life. It's Abrahamic. One leads to condemnation, the Mosaic. The other leads to justification, the Abrahamic. One makes people guilty before God. The other makes people righteous before God. One is man's attempt of making himself acceptable to God. The other is God's attempt to make man acceptable before God. So let's examine tonight the covenant of life. I'll give you a few things. First, observe the binding effect of this covenant. Look with me here in verse 15 and notice the binding effect of a legal covenant. In verse 15 we read, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men." Though he's going to use an illustration of humankind to show that the covenant is unchangeable. He says, "Though it be but a man's covenant." Now, time out, church, before we continue reading here. Verse 15, Paul is building a case through Abraham's testimony. And he's building a case concerning a covenant. It's called the covenant of life into which you have entered, okay? Now, that's why in verse 15, he begins to talk about a covenant. Because he's pointing back to verse 14, which talked about the blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles. It's through a covenant, okay? 15, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto." Now, listen, if you sign a contract, a legal binding document, okay, and you agree to the terms laid down therein, you have a legal documentation that cannot be disannulled or made void. And I'm talking human, a human contract, okay? You get that thing signed, you get it notarized, you get it by the judge, it's legal and it's binding till death. You can't change it because it's signed, even though it's just by men. Now, God always keeps his word. So if you enter into a legal contract with God, he will be faithful to keep his end of the bargain. And this is Abraham's point. He's building a case and he's showing you that even men consider a legal contract or covenant to be official, right? And to be enforced. How much more does God consider a legal covenant that he has made with people to be binding and to be effective? Now, secondly tonight, notice where this covenant of life dwells. Where can you find it? Look with me in verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Where can you find this covenant of life of which I speak? The Bible tells us clearly in verse 16 that you can only find it in Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who holds this covenant of life. That now, listen carefully. Here in verse 16, church, because the Holy Spirit is clearly revealing the exact place or location where this covenant of life abides, and I'll give you a hint, it's not in a creed, a religion, a system, or a place. It lies in a person, a divine, eternal person, whose name is Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you want to enter into an everlasting covenant of life with God, you've got to go to the one who holds that covenant. His name is Jesus Christ. Other religions, false religions, cults, the occult, they don't like that. They want the New Age movement. They want some other way of attaining nirvana, you know, endless peace, and they'll never get it. Now, notice how the Holy Spirit identifies in verse 16 the one and only person in whom this covenant of life exists. Go to Genesis 13, holding your place in chapter 3 of Galatians. Go to Genesis chapter 13. We won't be long tonight, but we've got a powerful, powerful message concerning. I enjoyed this afternoon. My wife says, honey, you still working? I say, yeah, and it's good. Chapter 13 of Genesis. Look at verse 15. God speaking to Abraham, whose name was Abram at the time. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, singular, forever. Go to chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17. He's pointing to a particular seed of Abraham. In chapter 17 of Genesis, look at verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, forever, everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Now he's pointing, go back to Galatians, and look at verse 16 again. Verse 16, he says, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the Bible is the best interpreter of itself, we know that. The Holy Spirit is showing here who God was referring to in Genesis 13 and Genesis 17. It was to the seed of Abraham, the Messiah seed, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 of Galatians 3. And the scripture, foreseeing, you know that the scripture sees? It's alive. It's alive. You don't read this book. This book reads you. Amen? Look at it. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, what he's saying here in verse 8 to Abraham is that through one of his offspring, one of his seed, with a capital S, all nations of earth would be blessed. And it says he preached the gospel to them. So folks, this is why I'm so excited tonight. I'm talking about a covenant of life that was given through the man Abraham. Now, thirdly tonight, back in Galatians 3, observe the fact that this covenant of life is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. Look in verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant, which one? The Abrahamic, the covenant of life, that was confirmed before of God in who? Christ. Bingo. I see the smiles, because you're getting it. The covenant of Abraham was a covenant in Christ, Jesus, our Lord. Okay? Watch. 17. This I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God the Father in Christ the Son, the law, which law? Whose? Moses, that's right. Which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. He says, look, the Abrahamic covenant, which is in the everlasting covenant of life, cannot be eradicated. It cannot be revoked because of a covenant that comes in the future called the Mosaic. It came along 430 years after. We know that. Now, he says, just because Moses came out with another covenant called the Old Covenant, the covenant of works, the covenant of law, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans concerning the Abrahamic covenant. Because why? The Abrahamic covenant is what? Begins with an E. Everlasting. It's an everlasting covenant. Now, notice here that he says the Mosaic covenant, which can only condemn, right? It can only condemn, cannot revoke the covenant of life and justification. Look in Romans chapter 4 with me. Hold your place in Galatians. We're coming right back. In Romans chapter 4, Paul speaks of this very thing. In Romans chapter 4, look at verse 13. He says, for the promise, that's going back to verse 12, to Abraham, Father Abraham. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham. Was not to him. Listen, folks. This is what I'm going to get you to see tonight before I'm done. This promise of this covenant of life was not made to Abraham. It was made to somebody who would come through his loins in the future. Look at it. Now, it says in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law, Mosaic, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. So he's saying here that the promise was made to one of Abraham's seed, and it cannot be broken. Back to Galatians. Fourthly tonight, notice the basis of this is good. The lens of the camera is about to become very focused. Watch. Fourthly, notice the basis of this covenant of life. We find it in verse 18. For if the inheritance, we just read about that in Romans 4, be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, listen carefully. The word promise is twice spoken in verse 18. You see that? The Greek word there is epagelia. Epagelia. It literally means the act of promising good or blessing. The act of promising good or blessing. Now, folks, listen carefully. God is a promise keeper. Amen? He always keeps his word. He never breaks his word to you and I. I'm so glad of that. I can depend upon what he says, right? So go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Holding your place again in Galatians. In Hebrews chapter 6, God wants you to know tonight that he will not break his promise to you. He will not let you down, and he will not let you go. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6. This is real important that you see this. Look in chapter 6 of Hebrews, and look with me at verse 13. Speaking of what we're speaking about tonight in Galatians 3. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, promise of what? A covenant of life through his seed, right? Because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. The Lord says, Abraham, I want to make a promise to you. And I swear to, me, I'm God. I swear to me. Isn't that good? He swear by himself. And he cannot lie. Look at it. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, that's God, And an oath for confirmation to them is an end of all strife. If you have a contract in writing and both parties sign it, the war is over. The peace treaty's been signed. Look at it. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that's unchangeability, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's when you swear to tell the whole truth and the truth and nothing but the truth. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Who is that hope? It's a person named Jesus Christ. Look at it. Which hope we have, present tense, as an anchor of the soul. He's holding me and he won't let me go. Look at it. Both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Amen? Listen, we have, folks, you got to grab hold of Galatians chapter 3, because we have such a sure word of promise, the devil himself can't change it. And that's why he hates you. Now, this is incredible. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. We see here that the basis of this covenant of life is God's word of promise. Verse 18. See that? God gave it to Abraham by promise, and he always keeps his promises. Fifthly, observe the absurdity of serving the covenant of death, which is a covenant of condemnation. Look at verse 19. Question. Wherefore? Now remember what Paul is preaching to Galatians? The Judaizers had infiltrated them and said, you got to be circumcised and you got to keep Mosaic code and you can't eat pork and you got to keep Sabbath and blah, blah, blah. And Paul says, wherefore then serveth the law? Did you hear what I just told you about the Abrahamic covenant of life that you've entered into? Question, why would you serve the law of Moses? It was added because of transgressions. Till, it was only temporal. It's not an everlasting covenant, it was only temporal for a time. Look at it, till the seed should come. You know the one he was just speaking of, Abraham's seed? To whom, watch it, to whom, the seed, to whom the promise was made. Listen to me, folks. The promise was not made to Abraham. You got to get this. The promise was made to one of his seed. Okay? Look, I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. Look at it. Verse 19. The law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, notice the temporal aspect of the Mosaic covenant in verse 19. It says, it was the law was added because of transgressions until. You know what he's saying? He says it's expired. It's abolished. It's gone. Did you know tonight that the Mosaic covenant is gone? It's abolished in Christ Jesus. Folks, you don't have to keep Sabbath. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to celebrate the Passover because the Mosaic covenant is dead. It's abolished in Jesus Christ. It was temporal. Now, go to verse 23 of the same chapter, Galatians 3:23. But before faith came. Now, last week we saw that faith is a person named Jesus Christ, right? Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, Jesus Christ, that should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law, Moses, was our schoolmaster for one reason, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I wish I could get this bunch of Christendom out there that is, oh my goodness, I deal with them every week on Facebook and LinkedIn and on the website, and they want to bring you under bondage to Moses. Why? Moses is dead, Joshua 1, verse 1. Moses is dead, but Joshua, our Jesus, our captain of our salvation, is alive. You're under law, the law of Christ. Amen? It's a higher law. We're not under the Mosaic covenant. Now, look at verse 25. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Who is the schoolmaster? He tells us in verse 24, it's the law of Moses. Also observe in verse 19, who the promise of the Father was given to. Look at it, verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. To whom the promise was made. Now, go to Genesis chapter 3. Hold your place in Galatians 3. I want to show you who the seed is. This promise goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Watch it. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the story. Adam fell miserably, failed. And look what happens here. God is passing sentence on the woman, on the man, and on the serpent because of sin. Look what he says to the serpent in verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, chapter 3, verse 15. Here we go. And I, God speaking to the serpent, he's going to eat dust all of his life. And I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her what?
Seed.
Does it say seeds, plural? No. Individual, her seed, pointing to a divine person. Look at it. This seed, whoever it is, shall bruise thy head. Now let me ask you a question. Anybody here want to take on the devil? No, I didn't think so. He's a powerful being. You're too weak. You can't handle a split foot. But I know someone who can. The seed. The seed. Watch it. Verse 15. It, the seed, shall bruise thy head. In the Bible, a head wound is always a death blow. Mark that down. Always a death blow. A head wound. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. You know what that happened? That happened on the cross. Jesus Christ's heels were bruised by the wood chafing against his heels. But you know what he did? He delivered the death blow to the head of the devil. And he defeated him. The seed. That's the seed that Paul, back to Galatians 3. Look at it. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. That promise that he would bruise the head of the serpent, he did it for you and me because we could not. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, because we were too weak to do that. He did it for us. Amen? Now, this is getting good. Also notice in verse 19 of Galatians 3 that something else. Notice the angelic involvement of the covenant of death. Look at verse 19 again. He says, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it, that's the law, the covenant of death, it, the law of Moses, was ordained by angels. By angels. What's that mean? Listen carefully. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. Hold your place in Galatians. Go back to Acts chapter 7. You remember up there on Mount Sinai? And the mountain was smoking and quaking and trembling in the presence of the Almighty God. And the people said, no, Moses, please speak to God for us. We're afraid. Why? Because the Mosaic covenant is a covenant of fear and death and condemnation. That's why it's fearful. Look at it. Acts chapter 7. Stephen, the first martyr of the church. We named our second son after him. Look at chapter 7 of Acts. And go to verse 53. He's preaching up a barn burner to the Sadducees and Pharisees. And he says in verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Did he hold back in his preaching? No. He called them what they were, a bunch of vipers. Right? In other words, how is they going to know they need to repent? Stephen didn't whitewash his preaching. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Who, you Jews, who have received the law, whose law? Moses. by the disposition of angels. Look at that. By angels they received the law. Now, and have not kept it, by the way. You try to get us to keep it, but you won't keep it yourself, right? This, when the giving of the law and the Ten Commandments, we'll call the Decalogue, on the two tables of stone, God used angels to etch those commandments. One of them was thou shalt not kill. We talked about that on Sunday. But he used angels. Why? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show you how he used the angels in the giving disposition of the law. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll see clearly how the angels were used in the giving of the law of Moses. In Hebrews chapter 12. This is fascinating stuff. Look at verse 18. Paul writes to the Jewish Christians, true believers, for ye are not come unto the Mount Sinai that might be touched, and that's physical mountain on the earth, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and he's going to describe the giving of the law at Sinai, Exodus 20, and unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They couldn't take it, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, Sinai, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. You know, for years I read that verse 20, and I said, well, Lord, did you appoint Israelites to, you know, shoot if a wild beast came along and accidentally got near Mount Sinai, that they would shoot him with an arrow? No, the Lord showed me what it means. Angels would have destroyed that deer or ox or whatever, wolf, whatever it might be, that was coming near the mount. Why? Because God was on the mount. Wherever God is, that place is holy. And nobody can approach unto the holy God unless you do it through a covenant of life. Right? So these angels were appointed to guard the mountain while God gave the law of Moses to the people. You see? So, but it was a terrifying, horrifying experience, because the law kills, the law punishes, the law condemns. The law does not justify you. You these people who want the law, they don't know. They don't. Paul says, "Do you not hear the law? Are you crazy?" But this is incredible. Angels were involved in the giving of that Mosaic law. Now back to our text in Galatians 3. Also observe something else in verse 19. There's a whole bunch in verse 19 that we've got to see. Look to the last word of verse 19. It says it was ordained by angels in the hand of a what? Mediator. Remember, he's still building his case for verse 20, here. He says that law of Moses was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Question, who was the mediator of that covenant? Who was up on the mount with God?
Jesus.
Nope. Moses. Moses was the mediator of the old. Yeah, you're thinking new. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. Now, you've got to get this. The mediator of the covenant of death was Moses, which equals death and condemnation. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Hold your place. We're almost done. Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the giving of the law at Sinai, okay? Now watch what happens here. In Exodus chapter 20, look with me at verse 19. Verse 19. 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Yeah, Shekinah glory. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, time out, church. Notice how the Mosaic covenant pushes people further away from God? They're afraid to approach God, lest they die. Why? Because they couldn't keep the laws that he gave them. Look at it. They're running away. Your covenant, the covenant of life, draws you boldly to his holy presence. Look at it. 20, 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. How would you like a Christian who's afraid to go to church because you're going to hear from God? Hello? This is what the Mosaic Covenant did. It pushed them further away. 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Notice here who the mediator is between God and the covenant of the Mosaic covenant with Israel. Okay, here we go. You've got three parties involved in the old covenant. You've got God on one side. You've got the mediator. What's his name? Moses. And you've got the other party entering covenant. What's their names? Israel. God, Moses, Israel. God ordained the Mosaic covenant for Israel. Now, look with me here in verse number 20. Here's what I want you to see tonight, and I'll be done. Verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. What? Did you catch that in verse 20? Paul, by the Holy Ghost, says you had three parties involved in the Mosaic covenant. God, Moses, and the Israelites. But in the Abrahamic covenant, you only had two. You had God, you had Abraham, the mediator of the Abrahamic covenant. And who'd you have over here? Jesus. It's not Israel. Who?
Jesus.
Woo! You got it, brother. You got it. You're one of the few Christians I've ever tried to show this to that got it firsthand. You've got two people. You've got God, Abraham, and God. Look at it. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. My light bulbs are going off. I see it all over. Why? Because, listen to me, God made a covenant with his son. No man. With his son. So if you want to get in on this covenant of life, you've got to get into his son. Oh, it's going to get good. Notice God's covenant with himself. Verse 20. Moses' covenant involved three parties, God, Moses, Israel, but Abraham's covenant involved only two, God and Abraham. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hold your place in Galatians. We're coming right back. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Can't wait for you. Look at verse 5. For there is one God. Amen? There's one God. And one what?
Mediator.
One mediator. Between who? God and man. Now let me ask you a question. In verse 5, how many parties are involved? Think before you answer. There is one God and one mediator. Between God and man. I'll give you a hint. Just like the Abrahamic, there's two. God is one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. So you've got God, God the Father, the mediator is God, the Son, and the person, look at verse 5, men, any man, woman, boy or girl, who wants to enter the covenant of life with God, goes through the mediator, and notice the mediator is not Abraham. It's the seed of Abraham. Now, let me finish up. Here's what it all means. Let's put it all together. If you want to enter into the covenant of life, you must be positionally placed into the seed to whom the promise was made. Amen? Go with me to verse 26, and we'll finish up here. I said, if you want to enter into the covenant of life, the Abrahamic, you must be positionally placed into the seed to whom the promise was made. Why? Because the promise, remember what I said? The promise of Abraham to Abraham was not made to any man. It wasn't made to any man. It was made to the Son of God. So for you to get in on that promise of everlasting life, you've got to get somehow positioned in to the Son of God. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, no water involved, people, you know this is spirit baptism, into Christ, have put on Christ. Oh, did you see it? You've been by the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you're baptized into Christ. Positionally, you are in Christ, and the promise is made to Christ. Look at it, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There's that one again. Not many, one. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye what?
I hope somebody gets this.
Abraham's seed! And heirs according to the what? Promised! I told you it was going to get good tonight. Folks, the Abrahamic promise was to Jesus Christ. And because you have entered into Jesus Christ through regeneration, the promise is yours and mine.
Glory to God.
Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for our most incredible passage of Scripture. Lord, I remember the first time you showed me the truth of verse 20. For God is one. A mediator is a mediator between two, but God is one. Lord, the lights went on. I was in Bible college. I remember the time and the place where it hit me like a ton of bricks. And Lord, I came unglued spiritually. Never been the same since. And Lord, we just thank you tonight for your word. And I thank you for the book of Galatians. I thank you, Lord, that we don't need Mosaic law. We have something so far superior. It's called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for a great teaching and incredible truths contained. Lord, we could spend a lifetime right here in these verses. It's just so deep and so rich and so full of spiritual nuggets for us to dig out. We thank you for your word, Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We will indeed sing one. In closing tonight, just prior to our Wednesday night church family prayer meeting, let's open up to hymn number 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, hymn number 10. That's right. Here's what we need to be doing. Leaning. Reverend Hoffman wrote the words to this one. And we're going to sing. Let's stand. We'll sing all three. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. That's what it's all about.
On the everlasting thoughts, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. Sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how thank the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. We're leaning, we're safe and secure from all of us. We're leaning. To be leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, the blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all of us. Oh, yes, we're leaning on the everlasting.
Brother Steve, dismiss us in prayer.
Father, go with us as we face the world with I am troubled.
Yes, Lord. Oh.
Lead us and guide us in all truth, Father. Guide and protect us with your love. Strengthen us spiritually, Lord God, that we may walk in your light, in your Son. Please, Father.
Yes.
As we commit our ways unto you, Lord God, go with us. Lead us and guide us in all truth. And protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.